Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 99, the second paragraph, If There Be Divorce or Separation, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reader of the text, Shelley E. Penny L.C. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Dana P. The reference number for Monday, November 15th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,082. That's 18082. And for this morning, Tuesday, November 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,086. That's 18086. Our newcomer greeter for this morning will be Kathy S., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 99, the second paragraph, if there be divorce or separation, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Shelley E. to begin reading. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 99. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. The wife should fully understand his new way of life. If their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis, since the former did not work. This means a new attitude and spirit all around. Sometimes it's to the best interest of all concerned that a couple remain apart. Obviously, no rule can be laid down. Let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. When the time for living together has come, it will be apparent to both parties. Again, Shelley E., a recovered compulsive eater in Arlington, Texas. Thank you for letting me do service. When I read this at first, I thought, well, I'm not divorced. I haven't been separated. I've been married, seems like, all my life, coming on 40 years, and I'm not that old. But I will say, my compulsive overeating was very hard and damaging on the family. I didn't have any idea how damaging until I got into recovery. My poor husband was just along for the ride. But I can tell you, as I started to get better, the illness in the family started to get more apparent. Little did I know, I have 3 children who are addicts in recovery. But it all started to become clearer as I became recovered. And it got harder because everybody's used to the crazy person. But when the crazy person starts to get sane, it's uncomfortable. You know, we know what crazy's like, but we're not real sure what she's going to be like when she's recovered. So it was definitely a ride for the family. It was a new attitude. It was a new spirit all around. And, you know, at that point, I guess my husband could have just chucked it all and said, I was real comfortable with you the way you were. But he didn't. He stuck around. He's here, and he's so appreciative of the new, quote-unquote, the new me, you know, the person that listens to him, the person that isn't giving him the eye roll all the time, or bossing him around or telling him what I think he should do. Healthy boundaries. There's just so much to be said for healthy boundaries and letting everybody be the person they are, whether they're in their addiction or not. I always had my finger in the pie, is my son out drinking? Is my daughter going to be at a party and doing this? And, now I realize that higher power is in charge and higher power is running my household. It's running my life. It's running my household. And the same inner dwelling higher power I have is the same inner dwelling they all have. And I can respect that now. I can recognize that now. And now I can be a part of the family that people want to be around instead of, oh, God, there goes mom. She's crazy. So I do appreciate that. And there was a lot more in this paragraph than I realized that for me. With that, I'll pass. And I look forward to hearing what everybody has to say. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Shelley E., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
This is Elaine from New York.
Okay, Elaine. What's your initial, Elaine?
My initial G.
Okay, very good.
Bruce E. in Florida.
Bruce E.
And
Robin. Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Ann B.
Ann B.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Jody H.
And Jody H. Let's stop there. Okay, I have Elaine G., Bruce E., Ann B., Robin P., Penny L. C., Jody E., and Jody H. Good morning, Elaine. G., go ahead and get us started, please.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elaine. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm glad to be here today. I got a sponsor, and I had a sponsor, but I need to get a new one because the other one dropped me because I was not willing. I wasn't willing to do everything, but now I'm willing. Yeah, I really am because it was making my life miserable. And talk about feeling insane. I mean, like, I was making decisions having to do with friends, this and that. They weren't good ones. They were just on, like, I'm lonely, so I'll keep that friend. No, I want to have some self-esteem. But anyway, before I came in the program, I was out of control with the eating. I've been in a relapse for a long time. And thank God, last night in the middle of the night, that's a miracle in itself. And I prayed, and that worked, to my higher power. And one knows that the times I've had abstinence, it was very good when I had abstinence. I felt good about myself. I wanted to do things. And today was good because I woke up, haven't eaten in the middle of the night, and I made 3 doctor's appointments instead of procrastinating here. And these are appointments I really need to go to, having to do with my knee operation, having to do with this numbness in my fingers, and this ophthalmologist. I mean, these are things I've been avoiding, procrastinating while I was eating. And a new sponsor I got, a Big Book sponsor, said, you got to get 2-3 days abstinence. Well, that's good. It's a challenge, and incentive. And I'm just so glad to be here in the meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 99, the second paragraph, starting with if there be divorce or separation, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. So go ahead, Bruce E. from Florida. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you. Thank you, everybody on the call. Bruce E., I'm recovering in Southwest Florida. I think this is a terrific paragraph. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. So I'm in my second marriage, 37 years in this marriage, and just a few in the first marriage. That first marriage was a absolute crash and burn deal. We were both addicts and didn't know it. I wasn't in the program yet. I thought I knew everything, didn't know anything. Probably sounds like about the way I am right now. Anyway, so she left, moved back to Illinois. I stayed in Florida, took the little girl with her, and I was crushed. I was just absolutely flat on my back. It was very basically suicidal at that point. But I talked to a guy, and he said, well, he said, I didn't want the divorce. I wanted to get back, together. So there was too much haste there. And talked to a guy, and he said, well, why don't you just call her, ask her to come back, and if she says no, put it behind you and get out and go on with your life. So I did that, and she said, no, it's not going to work. I'm not coming back. Don't blame her now looking back on it, because it's a lousy marriage. And what was really something we really accomplished in that conversation, though, was awesome. And that was, for the first time in my life, I probably ever said I apologized to somebody, and maybe for the first time in her life, she apologized to me. I don't know. But she said, you know, I'm sorry it didn't work out. And it just took a load off me. And I said, yeah, I agree with you. I'm sorry it didn't work out too. And so that was it. 12 years before I got in the program after that conversation. But I did a ninth step, pretty much, sort of. And enough of one to where it really changed my life. It really did. And I felt relieved. And I never talked to her again in my life. Never talked to her again. I don't believe we ever talked. Well, I don't know. Maybe I talked to her when I sent the papers up there for the divorce. But not much. Yeah, thank you. But I'm really glad that that happened. And but now I know more clearly how to do a ninth step, I think. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. And now we'll have Ann B. shared, followed by Robin P. And you're welcome to let us know what state or country you're calling from, so those who wish to contact you from our member list might be able to do so.
Hello.
Good morning, Ann B.
Hi, this is Ann B. from New York. And I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 17 years. And I joined this program about 6 weeks after my ex moved out. And my motivation in joining this program was I thought that if I didn't lose weight, I'd never find another guy. And I've since learned that's false. There's plenty of chubby guys out there who want a chubby woman to eat with. And I have gotten down to normal weight. I'm down 50 pounds, and I still haven't found another guy in 17 years. But I remember thinking, I was in program about 2 weeks when I started hearing about the role of resentment and fear in addiction. And I realized that resentment and fear had destroyed my marriage, and I realized that I needed to work on those things or I would never have successful relationships. And I used to fantasize, well, my ex, also a compulsive overeater, if he would work the program then, and we both got over our resentments and fears, then we could get back together. Well, that hasn't happened, right? My ex is now a she. She is, my daughter reported, just ate 14 cupcakes in a sitting recently this week, so is still in the food. And I've grown in a way to be grateful for what happened. If I hadn't been overweight, I would never have found Overeaters Anonymous. I wouldn't have had the kind of support I've had in dealing with a divorce. if we hadn't been divorced, I would have had to deal with this transition business that she didn't tell me about prior to the divorce. I'm not sure she even knew yet that she wanted that. But I've gradually come to realize that I always found him, now her, very irritating. And I didn't understand that for the longest time, that, you know, she deserves to live, if she finds anyone, which she hasn't, who doesn't find her irritating and who isn't always irritated with her. And so I came to understand why that marriage wasn't possible, even though I wanted it to continue. And I am a much happier person now than I was. And now part of the reason I haven't gotten into another relationship is concern about the way my previous relationships have gone. So, and the self-awareness and the understanding of relationships is a big gift of programs. So I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. from New York. And now Robin P., will you share with us, followed by Penny L. C. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Dawn, for your service. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovery compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And as some of you know, I was married for 11 years to my husband, and we went through a very hard time, and we got divorced, and I got in recovery. And during that time, I was hitting bottom. He was hitting bottom. We both hit bottom during that year. God was so merciful, and like it was like mercy, like take two. And I got 12 steps into this program, into Vision for You. And 5.5 years ago, I'm so grateful to be abstinent today. And for the 5.5 years of abstinence, by God's grace. And at Christmas Eve, Tom asked me to go to church with him. And I heard God say, Merry Christmas. This is my gift to both of you. And we started dating, and we moved in together. And the second time I proposed, he said yes, thankfully. And we're both in recovery today. And we got remarried during the California wildfires. We did not plan that, on November 10th, 2018. And our friend's house, where we're having our wedding reception, burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. Our honeymoon resort burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. So we had our wedding, our reception, and our honeymoon at our church rectory. And we always say the first marriage, we went through the fires spiritually. The second marriage, we literally went through the fires. And I'm so grateful today because we're different people. It's like take two. We have tools today. We have communication. We get to use the steps in our relationship. It's a miracle of grace and mercy. And I'm eternally grateful to this program. And we're traveling around Costa Rica right now, and driving really, really, some really, really rough roads that is like roller coaster and some muddy, it's the rainy season. It's really, and and we're still in love. And that's a miracle. So I just think, wow, if we had done this before recovery, I don't know how this would go. And we love each other, even on those crazy roads. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. And now Penny L.C., will you share with us, followed by Jody E.? Good morning, yes, Penny.
Good morning, Dawn, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I know that relationships, what I didn't understand in the past and I do now, is that they need to be cultivated. And my past and current relationship with my husband are very different. And that's thanks to recovery and thanks to knowing that I can't have any expectations about what it's going to look like. But I need to just simply be responsible for working on my recovery along with treating others with dignity and respect the same way I've learned to treat myself. And I know that with this living amends, I get to focus on my relationship ideal that I have cultivated. You know, being able to be the partner, the wife, the friend, the companion that I believe my higher power would want me to be. And in this way, I am able to have that new attitude and spirit as I walk through each day, grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC from Washington. Now, Jody E., will you share with us, followed by Jody H.? Good morning, Jody E.
Good morning, Dawn and everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Oh, this is such a packed and weighty paragraph for me. I got into my relationship with my former husband when I was just starting to binge at the age of 20. And he seemed like a rock that I could rely on. He became my higher power, really. I had some clear signs that it was not God's will for me to marry him, which I could not listen to, could not accept, because I had too much fear. I didn't think that I could take care of myself, or that my higher power would take care of me, because I didn't have a relationship with my higher power at that time that I was really conscious of. I did have a relationship, but it was below my consciousness. We did marry. We had a daughter. And, interesting, it was when my daughter was born that everything seemed to go downhill. And that catapulted me into my disease even further, into depression, into a spiritual crisis. And not long after she was born, about a year later, my recovered alcoholic brother gave me a big book. And that started my journey back to wholeness. It's been a long journey. And I wish that I had found this meeting prior to my separation from my husband. Perhaps it would have had a different outcome. I don't know. But I have to say that today, he and I are at peace with each other. He has found a new partner, and I'm happy for him. I'm going to have Thanksgiving with them in our old house. And I have not found a new partner. I continue to build on my relationship with my higher power, turning my will and my life over to the care of that power. And if it be God's will for me to find someone, I trust that that will happen. And if it isn't, that's okay. I'm okay as I am. I'm grateful. I'm peaceful. And so grateful to be recovered. Thank you all. And I pass with that.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. And a reminder, we're on page 99, the second paragraph, starting with, if there be divorce or separation, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. And Jody H., will you share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names.
Yes, my name is Jody H. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thanks. When I read this paragraph along with the first reader, it struck me that even though I do have an ex and we have a working relationship now, I also find it's important for me to cultivate good relationships with those whose relationship with me has gone down the tubes, so to say, because of my overeating and my ignoring people because they didn't eat the way I was eating when I was overeating. And so I apply this also to all my relationships. that these old relationships must, and I love that word in the paragraph here, if their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis. And I love that it says, let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. This is a one day at a time program. And I really love the fact that I can be patient with myself and with those who I deal with on a relationship basis of any kind and have a brand new way of life. Since I've been in the program, I've experienced all kinds of interesting experiences with people who have said to me, you never had control of your eating. This is really awesome for you. I'm really happy for you. And in spite of their own difficulties or wherever they're coming from, they can be a good influence or a bad influence on me. And some of my relationships I've had to let go by the wayside because we had eating relationships. Basically, the only thing we ever did together was eat. And I've had to let go of some of those relationships because of the influence. And sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I may not feel as strong with my higher power, so that I feel weaker and I realize I need to stay away from that relationship for the day. And other relationships, I can cultivate and find right. new life in them. Sometimes even through those who I've made amends to, it's stirred up a new relationship. And it's really been an adventure, and I'm really excited for what my higher power has in store for me for the future and for all that are on okay. this line today. And I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jody H. from Maine. Now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Donna W.
Christy M.
Donna W.
Christy M.
Christy M.
Marilee W.
Marilee W.
Allison B.
Allison B. And I'll take one more name. Okay, let's go
Terry
with that.
C.
Terry C. Very good. Okay, I have Donna W., Christy M., Marilee W., Allison B., and Terry C. Go ahead, Donna W., and please share where you're calling from if you like.
Hi, this is Donna W., calling in from Palo Alto, California. Grateful for to be recovered for today and for this meeting. Thank you, Don, and all who are being of service. Well, I just think it's kind of interesting because I was just having a chat with my husband because we're not separated. We're together all the time because we're working at home together, you know, coming up to 2 years now with no real end in sight. And it looks like we're going to have to move. Like our place just isn't big enough for the two of us to be working from home together. You know, we thought it was going to be a hump to get over. And it's this is our new way of living. So, so just, you know, I just want to say my husband is not my higher power. And that's something I learned in program before. I was in program before I met him. Thank God for that, because I was looking for a guy to be my higher power, a partner to be my higher power. So I'm grateful that I know he's not my higher power. But I realize I have like some hypervigilance patterns that from growing up in a stressful childhood. And so I'm aware that I'm kind of monitoring him and what he's doing and not doing. And anyway, what I realized this morning in my meditation, like, wow, maybe that hypervigilance is an asset because I can use that to keep checking in with my higher power. Hey, where's my higher power right now? So I'm going to work with that today. Like every time I'm trying to monitor my surroundings, that's my opportunity to check in with my higher power and monitor where my higher power is and how I can connect. So rather than trying to get rid of that, I'm going to use that as an opportunity. And then, of course, I need to let God run the show today. I'm not here to figure out how to manage living in close proximity with my husband. He was away for a few days, and now he's back, and so it feels a little more pertinent right now. So, yeah, just one day at a time, and going to let God run the show so I can relax and take it easy and stop struggling. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. from California. Christy M., you can share with us now, followed by Marilee W. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful recovering bulimic compulsive overeater in Oregon. And I so appreciate this passage today. I think I didn't realize how much my disease had really shut me off from intimacy and relationships. I started compulsively overeating as a child, and I was practicing bulimia all the way through adulthood, and all the way through my first marriage. And I'm also in a second marriage where shortly after I remarried, I relapsed, and my spouse, who's in a different program, did as well. And I always thought it was the other person. You know, I didn't see how my food issue could be the problem. My current partner is in another program, and I just thought, well, if he would get sober, if he would change, if he would fix, if he would do recovery, then everything would be okay. And I could not see my part in it at all. And it wasn't until I'm now a year and a half abstinent, I had a family member come and visit, and when I asked her which one of my kids had changed the most, she said, the person who's changed the most in the last year, because she comes to visit every summer, is you. And one of the things that she pointed out to me was how different my relationship was with my children. And she said, I'd always been a good mother, but she said it just like the whole dynamic and the closeness between me and my kids is just completely different. And I feel that. In a way, my higher power used the pandemic as a blessing to me. I was somehow able to get abstinence during that year. And also, as I became abstinent, my relationship and with my children just got so close. And I didn't realize that it wasn't close before. It's just a whole different level. And so I think that I was just surprised to see how much it had impacted my relationship and how much it's impacted my marriages as well. So I think that's one of the gifts of the program, is being able to heal relationships and just making you spiritually and emotionally able to connect in ways I wasn't aware that I wasn't connecting before. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. And now Marilee W., will you share with us, please, followed by Allison B.
Yes. So looking at the paragraphs before, it says, now the domestic problem, there may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. And I had read that before, and I saw the divorce piece, and I was like, oh, this part isn't for me. But the thing is that, and I heard it just touched upon, is I put such a high value on other people giving me self-worth and my roles in life around my family. So this year, our family just is badly burned in general. There's a lot of, I didn't think there was, but looking back, there's been a lot of dysfunction, for lack of a better word, for a long time. And my daughter turned 17, and she decided to leave the house. And that was, and go live with my father. And that was a very heartbreaking situation for me. I would really say probably out of the guilt and shame of the past. And so walking through this this situation, and it really brought a lot of strain between me and both my parents. Now, I would like to say that walking in spiritual principles is something that, oh yeah, I'm just going to do that. But with this stance of being hurt and broken, which I know is very selfish and self-centered and making it all about myself, and the depression that I felt when that happened, it's been quite a journey to start the process. And so if there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. So my separation has to do with my child. And I don't have control over her. And it's been quite the journey. She has grown me in ways that I never thought I could grow, that my self-worth doesn't come from her or that my ambitions don't come from my role as a mom. And that it's all about getting close to God. There were many times that I thought I couldn't make it during this period, but continuing to, you know, just sit with God or my higher power, that has been my best friend, and touch base with those moments. I will say that I almost didn't share today because during this period I have not remained abstinent. So if anyone has experience with this, I am on the phone list and I would love to hear from them. But I keep one thing that has come up between me and my higher power is that instead of focusing on them, there is a piece of that is to continue to, you know, I heard responsibility and tap into this power to turn to this program and take the responsibility for growing spiritually and looking at my physical health as well in regards to food. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Mary Lee W. And did you want to share where you're calling from?
Yes, Colorado.
Very good. Thank you so much, Mary Lee W. from Colorado. And now we'll have Allison B. followed by Terry C. Good morning, Allison, and let us know where you're calling from if you'd like.
Yeah, good morning. This is Allison B. I'm calling from New Mexico. Very grateful to be on the meeting this morning. I just wanted to start by thanking everybody for their shares. I got so much out of them. I just so the honesty of how people you know, what they bring to the table here, I really appreciate it. And I have to say this paragraph this morning, I look at it from three different ways. And one is having been married to an alcoholic for many years, you know, I take it from the person that is living with the addict. And I have to say that for many years, I was full of anger, resentment, and fear. And it was through the discovery of the 12 steps that I got relief from that and was able to create a relationship with my higher power. And through that, I did an inventory and found that I had a food problem. And, you know, I was bulimic for 10 years. And, of course, you know, that was nothing compared with the alcoholism that was in my relationship. So I thought, and so to start on this journey with the 12 steps and with the food program has been, really, a revelation. And unfortunately my marriage didn't last. And I have been divorced about, I don't know, 4 years ago, and I'm now in another relationship, and it's really interesting. So that's the third perspective, which is, I think that relationships require a lot of work and a lot of dedication and a lot of honesty. And it, I would say that the 12 steps have really, really helped me through this and have given me direction and support. Because I think I seem to find my greatest vulnerability when I'm in an intimate relationship with a person. And, just that our program of rigorous honesty and doing four steps and doing inventories and looking at my resentments. And they often just come back, you know, as I point the finger, three fingers are pointing back at me. And it's really helped me to take responsibility for my own actions. And I can't say I'm doing it perfectly, but I'm finding so much recovery in my life, and I'm very, very appreciative of that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison B. from New Mexico. And now, Terry C., please share with us. Let us know where you're calling
from. Good morning,
from.
Everybody. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry C. I'm calling from Montana. And I feel so welcome to your meeting. It's just a beautiful thing today. For me, I unpacking this sentence, this paragraph means that that rush to get closer to my husband when I am gloriously in the program, I'm on the pink cloud. I just think life is wonderful, and he needs to know that it's just going to be different, isn't it? It's just going to be different. I have a wonderful sponsor who assured me that she doesn't want me to stay home and work on my relationship with my husband when I get to the program. What needs to happen is that, you know, what the second sentence says, it says, I need to be sure of my recovery. Not my relationship. I need to be sure of my recovery. If I will put this first, God will see to it that he will work the rest of it out for me. So, and then I needed to sit down with my husband. I'm a cheat eater. I'm a closet eater. I'm not obese. I'm one of those people who feels obese, and yet my conduct around food pushes people away, and I am not able to have anything resembling intimacy with another person. So what had to happen for me as I worked through the steps is I needed to sit down and have a hard conversation with my husband and really humble myself before him so that he knew why I was going to yet another meeting and why I had a sponsor and what is this OA anyway. I gave the guy a break. I got off his back and I turned my focus toward me and what I needed to do. So, and this new attitude, my relationship needed to be on a better basis, meaning back to page 60, any life based on self-will can hardly be a success. So one more time, I needed to be of service to my husband. And this did create a new attitude and spirit all around, namely because I wasn't feeling so left out and overlooked in my relationships. And also, I wasn't depending on my husband to fix it for me. I'm lazy in relationships. If you'll do the work, that is fine with me. And if you don't do it right, I'm justified in every resentment I have. And by the way, when the time came for living together, it will be apparent. Well, we had separate finances. We were living basically together in love, but there were some areas of our life that were so painful for us, and God rearranged that for us. We just saw a financial planner last week, and this is huge for us. We've been together over 30 years. So I just want you to know that your approach to this recovery is absolutely amazing, and I'm getting so much out of this. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Terry C. from Montana. Thank you to everyone who shared. You made this meeting just really special. And if you're new, please stick around. We're going to be giving you an opportunity to announce your name and number in a few minutes. Now we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, John. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.